Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it'll take you to all of the resources I mentioned. Also, for those of you who have ordered a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials, the Top 10 Technology Strategies for All Learning Environments, a big thank you. There are over a dozen five-star reviews on Amazon already, but because there were some big shipping delays for my publisher, ASCD, I have extended the book bonus through the end of October. So just check out the podcast description or go to classtechtips.com/books for more details. This episode is sponsored by Tech, and I'm so excited to partner with them for a webinar series this fall. It's totally free, and you can join one or all four of these webinars covering EdTech topics like creation in the classroom, assessment tips, and more. Register for the event or sign up to view the replays on their website. Just go to otispd.com. Click on Upcoming Events, and you'll find four free webinars you can join. That's otispd.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure to get you the link. This week's podcast is titled Supporting Teachers as an EdTech Coach with Dr. Ashley McBride. Dr. McBride is an ISTE author, and in today's episode, we talk about some of the resources you can find in her book, The EdTech Coach Primer. This episode isn't just for coaches, it's for anyone who works with coaches, is being coached themselves, or thinking about becoming an EdTech coach. Let's dive into the conversation with Dr. McBride. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here to talk about all things EdTech and supporting teachers as an EdTech coach. I'd love to jump right in and have you share a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on here. I really appreciate it. So when I actually wrote the book, The EdTech Coaching Primer, I was a technology director. And I'm going to go back even a little further than that. So originally, I was an English teacher. And when I was teaching English, one of the things that I wanted to do was implement like blogs in the classroom. Mm-hmm. But I was completely on an island by myself. So I was doing research in the middle of the night. I was trying to figure out the best way to implement blogs, what platforms to use, all of those types of things, in addition to all of the day-to-day regulars doing lesson plans, grading English papers, you know, and those massive long papers that, you know, you and the red pen and all of that stuff. And then I got through it. I muddled through all of that. And then I found out that there was a position called an EdTech coach, mm-hmm. or in North Carolina, where I'm from, it is an instructional technology facilitator. And I decided to go get my license for that. I became an EdTech coach and then moved into director of technology role, where then I started working with technology coaches on a day-to-day basis and training them and helping them to do coaching cycles and things like that. Now, I just started in August as the Digital Learning Initiative Consultant for North Carolina Department of Public Education. And basically, my day-to-day is working with legislation that the state of North Carolina has set, saying that we need digital teaching and learning that is great for students and blended learning environments and all of that. And we're supposed to work with partnerships with like NC State and other colleges and other research entities to make sure that we're providing supports and research to schools to implement things like ed tech coaches and digital teaching and learning strategies. So that was a lot.
Well, it's wonderful to just hear about those different perspectives, right? That inform that the work that you do now, right? All of the things from the past experiences that you've had, I'm sure provide a lot of context for those state level kind of decisions or state level conversations.
Yeah. And that's actually my role as a teacher informed my tech coaching role. My tech coaching role informed my technology director role. And it was kind of this progression. But when I wrote the book itself, It was with the lens of what's going to help support the teachers. As an ed tech coach, what are the things that, you know, I've been there and I've done those things. And then as a director, there are specific chapters specifically for directors and for superintendents. How do you support that role? So that was kind of the whole idea of the book. As a director, I kind of went, when I was a tech coach, I wish I had. Mm-hmm. And as a director, I wish I had. And so that's kind of where that came from.
And that's so helpful, I think, for folks at different parts of their career, kind of looking at what they like, right, about a coaching role where they see themselves moving forward into a different role, or if they're kind of transitioning in between different spaces. So I love that you are covering all of those bases in the book and being able to provide the different perspectives, especially for someone who's wondering what, you know, they might know what their role is, but they kind of want to have a better understanding of what that other person in their professional life's a role really is.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot that happens when you are in a coaching position, and in many schools and districts, it can mean different things when it comes to being a coach or supporting a group of educators. You know, one thing I'm hoping we can start off with today as we talk about this idea of, you know, being an EdTech coach and things to keep into consideration, you know, can you share some of the differences when we talk about professional learning? Sometimes it's very informal and sometimes it's very formal. So what are the different kinds of professional learning that is out there that might fall into those formal and informal categories?
So informal is you may send out a quick newsletter and there's these little snippets that the teacher might consume themselves, or they might go on YouTube and go find some things, or even just informal conversations. It's not really planned to like a schedule and to meet a goal. But formal professional learning, especially in the role of the coach, is really we have a goal, whether it's a school goal, a PLC goal, or an individual goal. And here's the learning we're going to do to reach that goal. So that's the way that I look at formal learning, is it's planned out, it's scheduled, which is the most important piece, because making sure that time is scheduled, it's imperative. Right. I mean, teachers are, you know, you have to make sure that administration is on board and blocking that time and protecting it for formal professional learning. So that's really the difference in my mind, is formal is scheduled and planned, meeting a goal. Informal is I'm going to grab these quick bites as I need them.
Yeah. And I would imagine that in the spaces that you've worked with in the past and in different roles that you've had, there's been a combination of that, right? As I know, as I've worked with different schools, sometimes I come in and it's a very formal, scheduled, goal-oriented time that we're, you know, together. We're maybe looking at something. I was just working with a group in Texas where we were looking at formative assessment and technology, right? So how to really leverage the digital tools they have to meet some of these bigger initiatives around formative assessment, right? But then, you know, there's other places where I've worked in more of a responsive, right? Let's have conversations, let's solve this problem together. So I imagine that, you know, you're seeing those pieces when you work with educators as well. And, you know, it kind of leads me to this next question on personalizing those experiences. You know, what does a personalized teacher support look like in action?
So you've set up these goals and you've got this formal learning happening or this informal learning happening just simultaneously, but you have built as a coach a relationship with a teacher. where they can come to you or you've had these coaching conversations and they're able to say, or you're able to offer these very specific supports mm-hmm. that are based on their needs. So when I was an ed tech coach, I had teachers, and this is the same when I was a director working with coaches, I had some who I could work with them in professional development on a topic. And then I could point them in a direction, give them research and say, here's a number of options. And they would hit the ground running and just go. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to do research and then they wanted me to point them and they wanted to run. I had other people who I would literally sit in during their planning time and tell them which button to click mm-hmm. on the tech tool because yeah. they were afraid they were going to break the internet. And so that's what we mean by personalized. So you may have one teacher who wants you to co-plan and co-teach a lesson so that you can model what you're talking about in professional learning. And you're going to have others who are going to just dive head first and say, hey, can you just come observe me and give me some mm-hmm. feedback? So that's really what it means, is making sure you're working with the teacher to help them grow in a way that they are comfortable and is going to help them to obtain that growth.
Yeah. And I would imagine as you're kind of having those plans and conversations with educators to make sure things are responsive or align with their needs, that there's a common vocabulary or framework. Maybe it's the ISTE standards. Are there things like that that are sparking some of the conversations where teachers are saying, this is what I need? Or when they're kind of in the, we don't know what we don't know vibe that we all sometimes feel, right? Are there things that you point them to help them figure out what it is that they want to dive into a little bit more deeper?
Right. And I know that this isn't just in the state of North Carolina. In the state of North Carolina, we have digital teaching and learning competencies, mm-hmm. but we also have adopted the ISTE student standards. Mm-hmm. And our digital learning competencies are really similar to ISTE teacher standards. They're different. They're a little, it's different, but yet the idea is the same. So whether you're pointing to the ISTE standards or you're pointing to the ISTE student standards, then there's something there. But even more importantly is making sure that if you're doing the formal professional learning and you have a goal, that everything kind of pushes towards that goal, if at all possible, just so that you're continuing in that growth.
I love that. I think just making sure that everything is really anchored in a clear intention, a clear purpose, and you know, maybe that's come from a few different places or different conversations to get to that place, right? But knowing that everything really is anchored in that way, you know, in that goal is so crucial. So, you know, I'm curious to hear from you, especially this past year and a half or so, where teaching and learning, right? Teacher to student instruction has been in a hybrid, distance, face-to-face combination kind of model. You know, coaching has also been right in that way too. I know I've been working with groups of educators, you know, where we've been face-to-face, but we've also been at a distance over the past few years. But this past, you know, year and a half, it has been primarily right in a distance space to problem solve, have conversations and talk about things that way. So, you know, what does coaching look like for you and for the coaches that you work with in person and at a distance?
They were doing a lot of school, set their own school-based or goals in schools. When we got thrown into COVID, we were able to meet as ed tech coaches more often, meaning we were able to align and support each other even better. And then we were able to kind of say, my teachers are having these issues, these teachers are having these issues, and we were able to pool our resources a little bit better just because the time allotted for that. So I don't know if I can really answer what like a good coaching virtual program would be, just because I personally, being 100% honest, have lived face-to-face coaching mm-hmm. and COVID coaching. Well, COVID... Mm-hmm. That's not, if you're coaching in a virtual school, that's not COVID coaching. That's not we weren't doing coaching cycles. I had one or two who were still doing coaching cycles, but let's face it, teachers' bandwidth was done. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you felt it. They weren't ready for in-depth observations and coaching conversations and growth. They were just trying to learn what they needed to survive and get through. So that's kind of something that I've been toying with is talking to other coaches and other people who have coached virtually in the past in a formal like virtual coaching session to see what those tweaks are. So that's something I'm actually researching more now.
Wonderful, right? Because it's just so important to think about, you know, in these situations that we've been in this past year and a half, right? Priorities have shifted, right? It's an emergency response in so many situations with a very quick shift. So I know with many of the folks that I've been speaking to who are in a supporting role, right, with helping educators or classroom teachers, right, it's been a lot of pooling resources or, you know, coming out in front with a few ideas as opposed to, as you said, you know, some of the more formal kind of coaching cycles right. that we might look at. And so, you know, this year, you know, that we're in now, right, there's still a lot of different spaces where, you know, teachers are coming back fully in person. There's conversations about hybrid things, right? There's a lot of different pieces going on. But as we think kind of more broadly about the work coaches do, you know, how does an ed tech coach promote buy-in from educators, right? Even in the best of times, right? How do you promote that buy-in with someone who might be a little low confidence with tech, a little hesitant to bite off or try something new? Are there any strategies that you share with coaches that you work with?
First off, it's about building relationships. It's really, you're there, you're talking to them, you're asking them about, you know, their day, what problems can you help them solve, and asking questions. So I have spoken to or worked with a number of coaches where I tell them all the time, lead with questions. Don't come to them with the answer all the time and just be asking, how can I support you? I had been told one point when I was an ed tech coach, don't go in and say, how can I help you? Because help has this weird connotation to it, that if you say, how can I support you? They're more accepting of that. And when you change that one word, I would actually walk around when I first started coaching, I made a schedule because I had a large high school and I would know who was on planning at what time. And I would consciously at least once a week try to swing around during their planning when there were no students in the classroom, just pop my head in and say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? This looks really interesting. And once they got used to me kind of doing that, I would constantly get the, oh, I didn't email you, or I've been wanting to talk to you, or I've been wanting to see about this, but I didn't want to bother you. Or, you know, I just hadn't emailed you yet. Or there's always this, I just hadn't gotten to asking you the question yet. So really just being there and showing up. And one of the other rationales for why, and I'm going to go off the rail a little bit here, but one of the other rationales for actually writing this book was to try to get people who have the decision-making power for making these coaching roles in schools to actually get them to understand the power of that person being there and being in a school. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of school districts who have gone full-fledged and said, we're going to have a coach in every building. And then a couple years later, they go, well, we're going to start cutting them back. We're only going to have four coaches and they're going to each have eight schools. Well, at that point, you're a professional developer. It's really hard to build the type of relationships you need to if you're not in that building a good chunk of the time. I mean, there's some who can really make it work with two or three schools, like smaller schools, but to really go deep and be able to do coaching cycles and co-teaching and co-planning and to be there when the teachers need it the most, you really have to be there. You know what I mean? You have to be available. I think, and even in the virtual world, I'd love to do some research at some point to see what the ratio is for coach to teachers.
Yeah.
That really, when they stop being so, so effective, because again, you just, at some point you just show up at a school once. If you're showing up at a school only once a month, what are you really doing? You're throwing professional development and saying, I'll see you in a month, or, you know, email me if you need me. but you're missing that walking into the classroom and saying, how can I support you? And then being able to sit down and co-plan a lesson and co-teach it in a timely manner.
Yeah. And I think that's such an important thing for school leaders listening to remember, right? To carve out that time, to build that opportunity for a coach to be successful by really honoring how, you know, they are giving them opportunities to make connections, to build relationships, to come back into different spaces. And, you know, if there is a coach listening to this today, you know, is there one kind of small thing that you would suggest they try out that could have a big impact? Maybe a quick win that would help move them in that direction of really impacting their school community.
I really think it is building those relationships and just getting to know the teachers and their needs, because every single teacher has very, very different needs. Just like every student has different needs in the classroom, every teacher has different needs, and just being patient and listening. Put the phone away. That would be my big quick tip right there. Put your cell phone in your pocket when you are talking to, and I had this radio that I had to carry around with me all the time. And I'd get in trouble because I'd shut it off so mm-hmm. much, because I'd stop and I'd talk to a teacher and then something would start to, and I just clicked it off because they want you to listen. Mm-hmm. So just listening and get the device out of, you know, out of the way, and don't be answering text messages and all of that. Just be there for them. And then you're going to be invited to do so much more with them that you're going to see exponential growth.
I love that. And you're so right that that is just a quick tip, right? That could have a big impact with the relationship building. That's really the foundation of all of this coaching work. And so, you know, before we finish up today, I'd love to just hear a little bit more about your book, The EdTech Coaching Primer. Can you tell us a little bit about your book, maybe a story behind the book, or a little bit about what else is inside?
Well, inside the book, because I feel like I kind of gave a history earlier of how I came to the book. The book is really set up as just different structures and different tools that a coach could use. So there's one chapter on professional learning, creating that formal professional learning, and there's documents in there that you can just take and use. My favorite is the coaching cycles. Mm-hmm. So, and the coaching cycle that I actually have in the book is a very fluid cycle that allows you to ensure that you have enough time for whatever personalized supports are needed. I know there's some coaching cycles that are out there that say, you know, on day one, you do this and it takes you 3 weeks to get through it. And on day two, you do this. And on day three, you do this. And those are great in some instances, but especially when you're talking about ed tech coaching, mm-hmm. you're talking about people in very different places with very different comfort levels and different support needs. So like I said, you're going to have the runners who you're doing a coaching cycle and all they're going to ask you to do is provide them some research and some ideas and come back and observe after I've digested and tried it. And then you're going to have others that it's going to take 4 weeks to go through co-planning, modeling, then co-teaching, and then observing, and then moving forward with coaching conversations there. So the book itself is really just a pile of resources that I have and that I've used with as an ed tech coach and with ed tech coaches throughout the years. And as we pointed out earlier, the inspiration was really just, what is the thing that if someone said, what does an ed tech coach do, or what could they do? Mm-hmm. I can hand you this book and it would be, oh, they could do this. And everything's very flexible in the book. So if there's something that, I mean, I give suggestions for questions to ask before mm-hmm. you go into co-teaching or before you go into co-planning, like little mini agendas, because my biggest thing was I would get lost. We'd sit down and go to plan mm-hmm. something and I would just start chatting like I am now. I would just get so excited and we'd be chatting and then the planning session time that we had allotted was over. And so just things to kind of keep track of that and just resources for people. So it's really just the starter pack. It's mm-hmm. like, if you're going to implement an ed tech coach, here's superintendent or principal, or if you're thinking about it, here's the book to look at. If you are a new ed tech coach, here's the book to look at. If you're an old ed tech coach, here's the book to look at, just to say, oh, is there something that I can take from this? So yeah, that's kind of the idea behind it.
And that's just, thank you so much for that overview, because I think that right now, you know, always, of course, but especially right now, these actionable resources, things that you can take, you can make your own, right, and put into your practice are just so important. And I love that this is a resource that you can use if you're in the thick of it, right? If this describes your role, but also if you're someone who is supporting others in that role or someone who's curious about the role. Yeah. So really that nice wide audience is just wonderful to see how you're supporting them all with this resource. And when folks, as you're listening to this episode, you'll find the show notes right in the description. You'll find a link to the book. But where can listeners connect with you and learn more about your work?
So I'm on Twitter at @A+EdTech. And then you can go to edtechcoachingprimer.com. And that's the website for the book, but also my podcast. So I think I gave you the links for that as well. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast called the A+EdTech Coaching Podcast, and it's where I bring on EdTech coaches. I hope to get teachers too, to kind of talk to me about whether they've had a coach and what was great about having a coach, or if I had a coach, these are the things that I would like, you know, just kind of sharing all of those ideas. But if anybody out there is interested on being on that podcast, if you're an ed tech coach, or if you just want to talk about coaching in general, then there's a form on my website that you can fill out for that too.
Perfect. Well, I will put all the links to that in the show notes. So if you're listening in right now, you'll be able to stay connected and learn more about Dr. McBride's work. So thank you so much for spending time with me today. Appreciate your time. This is just wonderful to get your perspective. It was wonderful hearing Dr. McBride's perspective on ed tech coaching, what it means to be a coach, and what it means to work with coaches at different levels. And I want to make sure we finish up today's episode, like we always do, by talking about ways to make this ed tech easy. First, review the ISTE standards. Next, lead your conversations with questions. Then, personalize teacher support. And finally, organize PD around specific goals. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode, number 133, with all of the resources and tools I mentioned, including ways to connect with Dr. Ashley McBride. All you have to do is head to classtechtips.com/podcast and find today's episode, number 133. You can also grab a link directly to the show notes for this episode in the description area. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you should see a few different links on the description page that will take you to more information, including the things we talked about today. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Tech. I'm so excited to partner with them for a webinar series this fall. It's totally free, and you can join one or all four of these webinars covering EdTech topics like creation in the classroom, assessment tips, and more. Register for the event or sign up to view the replays on their website. Just go to otispd.com, click on upcoming events, and you'll find four free webinars you can join. That's otispd.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure to get you the link. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech or teaching in their podcast app. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. @ClassTechTips is where you'll find me, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus. to request your bonus items. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.